Well, greetings out there. Welcome to Salvation Part 24. And tonight we are looking at Salvation versus Redemption, Module 3. So this is the third module we're spending on Salvation versus Redemption. Why so much time? Because in my experience, in my readings, I find that so many believers today think that salvation is being born again, being birthed into the family of God, and then anything thereafter is just icing on the cake. They think they've booked their ticket to heaven, and that's all they have to do. For the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. And that's very true, but it's only true under the age of grace. And so God is no respecter of persons. What he wants for one, he wants for the other. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. And so God wants us all to grow up from feeding on milk, being babies feeding on milk, to go from that to feeding on the meat of the word, to strong meat. And when you start to get into strong meat, you start to realize, wow, the love of God for us and his desires for us and what the wonderful goals and plans and rewards there are in the future. God wanted a family. He doesn't want a family of no-gooders doing nothing, sitting around on a log, being a bump in a log. He wants his families to be like him. We were created in his image and likeness to act like him, to be like him. In fact, the New Testament tells us that we are ambassadors of heaven on earth. We represent heaven. We represent the Father God. We represent Jesus. We represent the kingdom of God. And as you all know, that the ambassador of the United States for any country, when they go to another country, that's when they become the ambassador. When they are home, they're not the ambassador. They may have the title, but they're not ambassadoring. But when they go to another country, wherever they go is U.S. soil. Their home, their office, their car, where they're standing, it's U.S. They're operating under the laws of the U.S. And they're there to represent the U.S. and bring the best of the U.S. to help other countries and other people and to represent our interests in that country. That's what God made us to be. Does that sound like he made us to just book our ticket to heaven and sit back and enjoy the carnal things of this life? No. He made us to be more than conquerors. Modern translation, he made us to be super conquerors. So that's why we're spending so much time on salvation versus redemption. In Module 1, we saw that salvation is more focused on the challenges, saving from the challenges, and the final goal. It's, here's a problem, here's a process of saving you, and here's the final goal. That's pretty much the focus of salvation. But redemption is focused on value. The value of the ransom paid to get you out of the challenge. The value that you have to God, why he paid such a tremendous price for you. The final goal, and the value of the final goal. And when we look at that pathway through the Bible in terms of redemption, we see, boy, that we are worth a lot to God. And he wants to give us a lot because we're worth a lot to him. And that's what we're exploring tonight. And in the next module, we'll also cover that. In Module 3, we're just looking at salvation under the New Covenant, salvation in the New Testament. In the next module, we look at redemption in the New Testament, redemption under the New Covenant, was too much to put it together in one module, so I split it. The other two modules, they were not split. I mean, how big is it? Well, if you take the blessings of our salvation package, we take that which is part of our redemption and put it together. What do you call that? It's pretty big. It's more than two pages. We actually call it the New Testament. Couldn't quite squeeze it into two pages. So, I'm just giving you a few scriptures here. We see that the word used for salvation is different from the word used for redemption, the actual Greek words that are translated. So, redemption can be translated as salvation, but the converse is not true. Salvation can never be translated as redemption, because redemption focuses on the sacrifice, and we all know the sacrifice is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, who laid his life down for you, shed his blood for you, that you and I were ransomed with the most expensive thing, the most valuable thing that God had, which is his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you and I are to him. And so we said, well, what is the salvation all about? Well, salvation is saving us from every challenge of life. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam had authority and dominion over the earth. He could protect himself from every challenge that would come up and was supposed to protect the garden. Well, that's part of what salvation is. Saving us from whatever challenges come up so that we can overcome every challenge of this life that comes up. Looking at that same theme from the point of view of redemption, we see that God gave mankind through Adam authority and dominion over the earth. Redemption restores that process and more. Salvation protects us from all the challenges, but redemption gives us more. Jesus says all power in heaven and earth have been given to him. So you go in my name. Before, we didn't have authority over the heavenlies. Now we do. We see in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things above the earth, things below the earth, things on the earth. The authority that Adam had, the authority that mankind had, that you and I had through Adam, has been tremendously increased by the redemption that Jesus purchased for us in the New Testament, under the New Covenant. So, we see that the most powerful scripture, I think, for showing you what salvation is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the ransom, the price. Okay? But looking at it from salvation, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's the process of our salvation. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the challenge is perishing. And we saw way back in this series that perishing includes a lot more than just death or going to hell. It includes every negative thing that could happen to you in this life. So from all these negative things, the process was God sent his Son to die for us so that we should not perish from these things, but have eternal life. Salvation brought us back to where Adam was. Adam was created to live forever. He had a body full of the glory of God. There was so much glory in him that he didn't need to wear clothes. We assume the light shone out of him so much, he did not need clothes. The glory covered him and protected him. Such as Moses, when he came down having spent 40 days with God to get the Ten Commandments, his face shone so much that they couldn't look in his face. Now, if his whole body was shining like that, hey, if it's protecting him, keeping him warm, and you can't look at him, what would he need clothes for? They couldn't even see the clothes. So, Adam was given all this and was expected to live forever. So, part of our salvation package is that we be brought back to that point that was given to Adam. Now, Revelation 21:7 is the best scripture I know to show you what the fullness of salvation is, to show you what the fullness of redemption is. Salvation takes us back to what God gave to Adam. But remember, Adam was a beginning, Adam was a start. Adam was not an end product. When God looked at his creation, after the first 6 days, he said it was very good. Not perfect. Wasn't perfect, why? Well, Adam had the potential to sin. And if he could sin, you can't be perfect. He had the potential to die. If you can die, it's not perfect. And he hadn't grown up yet. He just got started. I mean, he was just a kid. God spent time with him, teaching him. Why? To go from where he was with a body, with the glory of God in him, to Revelation 21:7. God is no respecter of person. What he wants for us is what he wanted for Adam, and vice versa. Revelation 21:7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This scripture is the best embodiment of the final goal of salvation and redemption. God wants us to be saved, restored back to what everything God gave to mankind through Adam, but go on to the ultimate that Adam was created to move towards and to achieve. And in Christ Jesus, we have been given the opportunity to do that. Let's look at Revelation 21:7 from the perspective of redemption. He that overcomes. Well, 1 John 5:5 tells you, who is it that overcomes but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You can only do that by understanding that Jesus died for you. You can only really have that in your heart by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer. In that one scripture, we see both the ransom that's paid and the value of the ransomee. God wanted us so much to be overcomers that he sent his Son to die for you, to pay the ultimate, most expensive price so that you, whom he loves so much, would have the opportunity to be an overcomer. He that's an overcomer, in the book of Revelation, which is the logical extension and continuation of the themes started by God with Adam in the book of Genesis, they culminate in the book of Revelation. And actually not just culminate, but initiate a new sequence that begins in Revelation 21 and 22, showing us what life is going to be after the great white throne judgment. After God comes down to earth with New Jerusalem, it shows us what life is going to be there. And it's just a continuation of what God started in the Garden of Eden with Adam. So, he that overcomes every challenge of life that comes up, every challenge the devil has, overcome to keep moving towards God, overcome towards becoming more and more obedient, overcome to become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. Not that we don't have failures and mistakes. But a righteous man falls seven times, the Lord picks him back up. Yeah, we will make mistakes. We will commit sins. But we get up and we go again. Thank God that under the age of grace, our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. So he that overcome shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The purpose of redemption is that you should be an adult in the family of God. You shall be his son. Not a baby feeding on milk. Not somebody feeding on meat. Not even just strong meat. But grow up to be an overcomer. To be God's son. And how do you measure the value of being God's son? I mean, it's kind of hard to even think about how you measure it, but one measurement is given here. You shall inherit all things. Inherit all things. You're a son of God, and you're going to inherit all things. Does that sound like you're going to inherit everything that God has? Not because God is going to die, but because God, I guess he originated living trust, huh? He just wants to give it all to you. He doesn't need it. Think about that. How valuable you are to God. You're the apple of his eye. And he wants you to become an overcomer. To be his son and inherit all things. Let's look at the final goal. Salvation. So Jesus, who's called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45, Jesus had to come to defeat Satan. Because when Adam sinned, Adam, who was the God of the world, small g, the ambassador of heaven on earth, he had authority and dominion over the earth, when he sinned, he bowed his knee because of the sin to Satan. So Satan took over as a god of the world, which is made very clear to us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan is the god of this world. So Jesus had to come to defeat him. Why? So that we would be no longer short of the glory of God. No longer short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23 tells us that we have fallen short of the glory of God. Perhaps two ways you could look at that. God put his glory in Adam so that Adam did not need clothes, so Adam could walk in the authority and dominion over the earth. And he lost it. So mankind fell short of that glory. But the glory he put in Adam, it was a glorified body, but it wasn't the same kind of glorified body that Jesus had. For after his resurrection, Jesus could walk through walls. Jesus could do anything. Jesus couldn't die. Jesus couldn't sin. So God was teaching Adam how to grow up to have a glorified body at a higher level. And so we have fallen short of the glory of God, the initial glory. And because of sin, we had no chance of ever growing up and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to defeat Satan, to give us back the opportunity to live and be no longer falling short of the glory of God. Now, in dying for us as a perfect man sacrifice, Jesus became our jubilee. Adam was supposed to live without sinning and grow. But he couldn't do that. There's only one sin he could do. Only one way he could transgress the law, which is to eat the forbidden fruit. And he did it. Jesus came and lived without committing a sin. Lived without committing an iniquity. Became a perfect man sacrifice. And in doing that, he became our jubilee. He completed the covenant that God had given to mankind. Live without sinning and be obedient. And he restored us to all the rights that God had given to Adam. Because he was the perfect man sacrifice. Here's some scriptures that shows us some of what Jesus purchased for us through his death. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, estranged from God, Christ died for us. You think, wow, if Christ died for us when we were sinners, what would he do for us now that we're in his family? Funny you should ask. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, being in his family, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath. Whatever challenge life that's coming. Now, during the ending days of the book of Revelation, whatever it is, we are saved from wrath through him. For if when we're enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. From whatever we need to be saved from, his life, living in his life, we should be saved from that. And that goes on into what we're going to look at next time in terms of redemption. Now, redemption in a nutshell. How wonderful is our salvation in Jesus Christ? But how much more wonderful is our redemption in Christ Jesus? For when he was resurrected from the dead, Jesus brought us into the better promises of the new covenant, which promises include living in the resurrection power of Christ Jesus and being able to obtain our glorified bodies. Being able to obtain our glorified bodies. That's what the redemption of Jesus means to us. That's how we can be overcomers and be sons of God, by living in the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Also freely give us all things. If you were like me, you might have read that for years. Me, I read it for decades. Saying, freely give us all things. Oh, there's a job I like. There's a contract I like. Business contract. There's a new car I like. There's a new house I like. All these things. Would he give them to me? Of course he gives them to me. Mark 11:24 tells you that. He gives them to you. But he gives you more than you can dare ask, hope, think, or even imagine. Ephesians 3:20, especially from the Amplified. He'll give you way more than you dare ask, hope, think, pray, or desire. Wow. Freely give us all things. More than I can think. More than you can think. Let's just pop back up to Revelation 21:7. He that overcome shall inherit all things. Do you think when we inherit all things, we're freely being given all things? See, freely give us all things. We thought, well, yeah, you can choose anything. Here's all the stuff, you choose the one you want. That's not what he's saying. He says, freely give us all things. Emphasis on A-L-L, all. Because when we are his son, when we are an overcomer, when we have grown up in this family, he literally gives us all things. Keep that in mind as we proceed. Let's look at salvation under the new covenant. In Genesis 1:26 and 1:28, Adam was given authority and dominion over the earth to protect himself. He was in the Garden of Eden, which is an isolated place No evil could come in there. He had total protection. Salvation has to bring that back to us. So Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, that's where Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. No, you protect the garden. God is saying to you, hey, Jesus died for your salvation. He's your jubilee. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is the word of God. I'm not writing this stuff. I'm just reading it. I remember the first small conference I taught after I'd been saved a few years, and God had me walk into great miracles, signs, and wonders, that to the point where I hit 1,000 miracles in the first 9 months. So I'm teaching this seminar, I guess is the best name for it, and everybody there was a bishop, a pastor, or an evangelist. It wasn't that large. And so I'm teaching. It's, I think, 3 or 5 days, I forget. It was a long time ago. So I'm teaching. And about the second day, one pastor in front raised his hand and said, says, brother, are you teaching from the same Bible we're using? I'll never forget that. Because I was showing him concepts they'd never seen in their life. And I was showing them scriptures they'd never seen in their life. I was asking them questions from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that none of them could get them right. And if I were to do it right now, I bet you 99% of you will get them all wrong also. But I don't have time. It would be fun, but I don't have the time. You don't have the time. So, complete protection. Adam had it. Jesus is our jubilee. We have it. Jesus is a jubilee because he brought us a salvation package which includes everything that Adam had. The last Adam, Jesus, came to undo everything the first Adam lost or failed to do. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we normally use that as a salvation scripture to get people born again. The way you get born again is you call on the name of the Lord. But you see, the Lord has many names. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides you. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. He's Jehovah Shalom, your God of peace. He's Jehovah Ruah, your shepherd, your guide. Whatever you need, if you call on that particular name of the Lord, you will get what you call for. Complete package of protection and provision. So we looked at protection. It's in our Jubilee package. It's in our salvation package. Let's look at our divine health. Acts 10:38. In the Garden of Eden, Adam wasn't sick. Eve wasn't sick. There was no sickness and disease. There was no infirmity. There was no death. All that came when Adam bowed his knee to Satan. So the salvation, the jubilee, has to restore us back to what Adam had. So let's see what it says. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with them. Well, Jesus was healing all. Jesus doesn't change. If he was healing then, he's healing now. Plus, notice that the sickness and disease, whatever Jesus was healing the person from, or the persons from, whatever that challenge was, that sickness, disease, infirmity, broken bones, is called an oppression of the enemy. Sickness and disease, infirmity and death, come from the enemy. And it's called an oppression of the devil. For God was with him. Well, God is with us also. God is in us. Jesus says, the Father is in me and I'm in you. God is us. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus, who by his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. By whose stripes, by the wounds on his back, we have been healed. By his stripes, we were healed. And the word is, I forget what you call it, past, pluperfect, whatever it is, it's one time done in the past. By his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, we have been healed. Financial prosperity. Adam had everything in the garden. Not only did he have everything in the garden, he was the God over the earth, small g, God over the earth. He represented God on earth. He had everything. Whatever he wanted was his. That's a lot of prosperity. So we have been restored back to that. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was yet rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. He took sickness and disease and infirmities, so you don't have them. They don't belong to you. He took your sins. They don't belong to you. He took poverty. It doesn't belong to you. He died so you don't have to die. He paid the price of the wages of sin so you don't have to pay it. You don't have to go to hell. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured back again to you. General principle for prosperity. Kingdom of God is like a seed. Whatever you want, you plant it, it comes back to you. So you want prosperity, then you plant money. You want love, then you give love. People give unforgiveness, and it comes back to them in a surprise. They act insultingly, and when insults come back to them, they're surprised. No, you reap what you sow. And finally, living without dying. Adam was created to live forever. Mankind is created to live forever. Doctors tell us that all the cells in our bodies are replaced every 7 years. And they're a little bit behind the Bible. They're finally saying that even the brain cells can be replaced. For much of modern medicine, medical history, they would say the brain cells can't be replaced. Now they've changed, and they're saying under certain circumstances, they can be replaced. Hey, I've been teaching for, I guess, over 22 years now, that if you affirm, if you speak the word of God in the name of Jesus and have the mind of Christ, your mind will get better and better, your memory will get better and better, and your brain cells will be restored. And we have a lot of examples of those stories, tremendous examples of people's brains coming back, where somebody couldn't even put a sentence together, and if the brain came back within a relatively short time. Many different kinds of stories. Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can change anything. The word of God in your mouth can change anything, but it has to be in your mouth, not just in your Bible next to your bed. That doesn't help that much. So, since Adam was created to live without dying, in fact, God said, on the day you sin, on the day you eat the fruit, you will die. And he did. Spiritually, he died. And his body caught up with him 930 years later. So we have to be restored to that. That's why Jesus died for us, so we don't have to die. So look at John 11:26. The context of this is when Jesus went to the home of Lazarus, who had been very sick and died. And Martha said to him, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Your brother will live again." She says, "Yes, I know he'll live again on the last day." So far, that's pretty, you know, if you believe in the resurrection, that's pretty straightforward. But here's where Jesus took off. She said, "I know he'll be raised up on the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, Lazarus is going to be raised up on the last day, but he doesn't have to wait till the last day. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection. So he went out and resurrected him from the dead. Isn't that the most simple, straightforward thing? You see? I'm the resurrection. Then he goes out and raises him from the dead. Because he's the resurrection. Was the first person raised from the dead? And people who are following Jesus today are raising people from the dead. The first person that was raised from the dead in my ministry was back in 1987. Many of you weren't even born then. 1987. Was in the country of Jamaica. Interestingly enough, the first person in Canada, Copeland, raised from the dead was also in Jamaica. Interesting to me, anyway, that T.L. Osborne was about to give up his ministry of evangelism. He was so disappointed with what had happened that he was giving up. And God says, "Try one more time." So he went overseas one more time to a tremendously successful crusade in Jamaica. Interesting. So, after he says, "I'm the resurrection, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, he shall live again. And he who believes in me and is alive shall never die." Jesus is saying, if you're alive and you believe in me, you shall never die. Then he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And she's basically speechless. He's saying, "I'm the resurrection, and I shall raise Lazarus from the dead to show you I'm the resurrection. I'm also the life. If you believe in me, you shall never die. Do you believe this?" In John 8:51, that was John 11:26. In John 8:51, Jesus says, "Verily, verily," verily means truly, truly, means I'm telling you the truth. Jesus is saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death." This is Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, saying to you, if you keep my saying, you shall never see death. That has to be part of salvation. Because salvation is restoring back what we had. It's saving you from where you were and bringing it back. It's Jesus coming as the last Adam to undo everything that the first Adam lost. And bringing back everything that God had given to mankind, which is what? All authority and dominion over the earth. Living without sickness, disease, infirmity. Living without dying. Having prosperity. Health and prosperity. And living without dying. And there it is in your salvation package. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death." And we close with one more. 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Some translations say die. We shall not all die. We shall all be changed. I typically quote from the King James. King James says sleep. Sleep is used instead of death in many cases, many places. Many cases, many places. Why? Because Jesus says God is the God of the living, not the dead. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't see them as dead. Their bodies went to sleep until the next phase of life that's coming up in the future, which is after the end of the age of grace. The age of grace is only 2,000 years long. 2,000 years long. We're coming near to the end of the age of grace. It's time for the church to wake up and realize what's in their salvation package and what the redemption by the precious body and blood of Jesus really means to them and what God wants for all of us. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep. We should not all die. But as you believe, so you receive. So if you're thinking that every person is going to die and you want them, well, you're not after a good start. If on the other hand, you choose to believe what the Bible says, regardless of what circumstances are saying, regardless of what you've been taught by medicine, science, parents, pastors, believe the Bible. Believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't believe me. I've given you lots of scriptures. Every module has an outline with lots of scriptures. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe the Word of God. But I want to help point you to some of the things you should go look for. So thank you very much for participating, and I'll see you in Module 25, Redemption and the New Covenant. And if you think this is great so far, wait till you see the next level. This ain't anything yet. This is just salvation. Believe the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Thank you all.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Joshua. Just think, it gets better and better and better. God intends His Word to unfold to us, and that as we learn, it just gets more and more exciting. So it's like there are many levels, many depths to the Word of God. And I'm sure you've all experienced where you read through it and you read a scripture that you may have read 100 times, maybe even 1,000 times. And suddenly you see something in it you never saw before. And it's so exciting when God, through His Holy Spirit, reveals the depths of His Word to us. Wow. Really, really great. So, praise God. So stay tuned for the next edition of the Salvation Made Plain teachings. It's going to keep getting better and better. God has much for us, and He expects us to just jump right in and partake of all the goodness that He has for us. So, one of those wonderful things that He has for us, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a one-time sacrifice 2,000 years ago. However, because He invited us to partake of communion of the body and the blood of Jesus, that means the benefits of that one-time sacrifice we can continue to receive ongoing as often as we like, as often as we want to. He put no limitations on it. So praise God. Let's go to the communion table together now. very important part of ABC at every single service, because this is such an important part of what God has given us. We want to receive all that we can, all that He has for us. We don't want to miss out on anything. Praise God. Okay, let's take a moment to confess our sins, and then we will begin. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fall afresh upon us now as we come to the table to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. That on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so very grateful, because your broken body means that you took upon yourself every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, so we don't have them. They don't belong to us. You purchased for us healing, health, wholeness, restoration, rejuvenation. It all belongs to us, the good stuff, because you took all the negative and you left for us the positive in this great exchange. The Word of God is very clear that healing belongs to God's kids, and we are God's children. So healing belongs to us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can boldly say we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No matter what the challenge, no matter how serious it is, no matter how simple it is, we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It is the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God that we speak over ourselves. For we agree with God on what the Word says about us when we affirm that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We're saying, "Yes, God, we believe you," and we receive from you. As we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus, receiving our healing and wholeness in full manifestation, in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." He's talking to his disciples, his intimate group. But he was also looking ahead to us and seeing all of us and knowing that we were worth it for him. He was prophesying at this point. He knew what was coming up. He knew what he would be going through. But he knew what the results of that would be, and that is salvation and redemption for us. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the precious blood that was shed to wash away all of our sins, to seal the old covenant, to establish the new, better, and everlasting covenant just for us in these last days, with all power and authority and dominion through your body and your blood, through the Word of God. Jesus, you are the living Word of God. And we are also grateful to have the written Word of God through our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We desire to fulfill the plan and purpose for our lives that you created for us. Show us, teach us, lead us in the way that we should go, Lord, and we will follow. In Jesus' name, we partake together in remembrance and in rejoicing. In Jesus' name.